My name is Jason Haxton. I'm the director of the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine.
And we are in?
Kirksville, Missouri, United States.
Interesting. I had no clue that osteopathy started here, was birthed here.
That's what's really interesting for as small a town as we have here. This great idea across our nation and the world came out of Little Kirksville.
Wow. Tell us how it happened.
Well, the interesting thing is Andrew Taylor Still, the founder of the school, and which is now A.T. Still University, he just wanted to be a local farmer. He married his sweetheart. They had a kid. Wanted to have Christmas and picnics and just a good farm life. And planted his crops and everything was going well. And then Missouri weather, a big hailstorm, wiped out his crops and his livestock. And it was too late to plant. Well, he decided, my father educated me well, I'll just go into teaching. Well, it paid $15 a month and he couldn't survive on it. We looked to his older brothers who were both doctors and his father who was a doctor preacher and said, well, they're doing well, I guess I'll go into medicine. And that's how Dr. Still first went into medicine.
Mm-hmm. But he became a regular MD.
He became a regular MD, but he didn't like what he was seeing because the normal medicine was during, which was you burn a person and pop the blister to get out the poison. Well, that's crazy. You'd bleed a person to get rid of the bad blood, but you get rid of the good blood too. You'd dose them with arsenic and mercury to kill the disease, but typically you killed your patient. If none of that worked, just give them enough morphine and alcohol and they'll think they're fine. He says, none of this is working. We need to find a better way. And he lost a wife. He lost most of his children. He remarried. That woman lost a couple children, and she herself was a pharmacist. She goes, there's got to be something better than this, and we're going to find it.
So tell us about the pathway of his evolution and discovery.
He decided to be a doctor, and in those days, you could apprentice, meaning you just kind of sidled up to somebody who was a good doctor and followed him around for a few years. And when they say you're ready, you go to the courthouse and you get your license, and you're now an official doctor. And so Andrew Taylor Still, his father was actually educated probably in Cincinnati, Ohio, as an MD, was able to train his son and basically get him licensed.
Looking from the outside, you're always told that osteopathy is a holistic approach to medicine.
It is, and I think, again, it comes back to how he was trained by his father. So his father starts out as a physician, but realizes that he's got a calling kind of towards being a preacher. So what we end up seeing is his father is a preacher doctor. The physician deals with the body, but the preacher aspect deals with the inner person. And Dr. Still always said, you never touch the body till you understand that it houses a spirit. That spirit actually has a lot to do with your health, your mental health, and how you think about the world, and this journey of life. The two are connected. And so what we see in osteopathy is the body, the mind, and the spirit. The mind connects the two, the intangible with the physical. And it really is what makes us whole person.
In the pharmacopoeia of the osteopath is different than a typical
Dr. Still said basically through diet, exercise, your mental thinking, and what they call manipulation, where you look at muscle, nerves, and bones, things can get out of alignment. You put them abnormal back to normal because any crimp or any basically blockage of the physical body affects the whole system, no different than any machinery.
They're the only medicine practice that uses manipulation or adjustment of the spine.
As a form of full, basically, physician or medical doctor, basically, that is something. But what we're seeing is, as information is out there, the MDs and things are actually coming to a realization that this is very important. Dr. Still said, if you can treat the person at the lowest level with your hands, that is the most natural and the best way to do it. But sometimes you need drugs, and that's the next level. And the last area is surgery. And sometimes you need it, but don't do it first. That would be the most severe cases.
So that's last resort.
Dr. Still saw it as a last resort, but often needed.
But yet, there are zillion ODs that have surgical privileges at hospitals around the country. So it is a part of their
right
retinue.
The doctor of osteopathy, the DO, basically can do anything. However, our niche because we started in the Midwest, is the underserved rural family physician. Most presidents have had DOs as their physicians.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. All the way back, because we actually have records going to Teddy Roosevelt, Eisenhower, mm-hmm. through Mamie, his wife, got him connected in Colorado. Most recently, Biden has a DO, as did Trump, as did the Bushes. Again, all the way back.
As their primary care.
It is.
Presidential physician?
Yeah. One of the things I asked him, I said, well, what is it like to serve a president? And one of our graduates recently said, well, I served too, Obama and Bush. So it didn't have anything to do with political party. Mm-hmm. And he says, it was a tough job. I said, really? He goes, you sit in the basement of the White House with two healthy guys. And he goes, I trained to help people. And for 3 years, I did my service, but they didn't need an awful lot. He said, but I was ready to do my time and get back to the public. And that's why we do so well. We like working with families. We like being in a community. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Steele was a dentist too, so we have dental programs. In those days, you did it all. Sports medicine, audiology. I mean, for a while, we thought that your physician should be basically your primary care for all your teeth.
How interesting. And again, been moving real fast today, but I seem to recall kind of a tripartite central core of your mission and philosophy.
Well, again, where we look at health, and so Dr. Steele says osteopathy is first and foremost is you look at the person wherever they're at, overweight or underweight or maybe exhausted, but you move each person closer to their best health. In doing that, you know, you give them a better journey through life, that they can do more, they can function better, they have more quality. So again, we look at health, we look at, again, understanding that the person within the spirit is also equally important to the physical body, that we treat the body, but we remember that there is this person and that what you're thinking, an optimistic person heals better than a depressed person. What we're finding now is the things you can't control, the immunology, actually works and is turned on through optimism. So when you're most optimistic, the things you can't control, your immunity system, just like your heart, you don't control that. That's under the parasympathetic, or your digestion, or your breathing. Important stuff, like immunology and those things, are on autopilot. And so the optimism we encourage through understanding your spirit, and it's the relationships that our patients and doctors have, that there is this feeling that because of the understanding the anatomy and not being afraid to work with the body and mm-hmm. your patients up close, that they heal better. They feel that they're worried about, that there is actually a compassion.
So heart, mind, spirit.
So we do, as you can look at it that, or we also like to look at body, mind, and spirit is kind of the terms. And the tenets of osteopathy are the body is one unit. Even the spirit, it all functions as one. It self-heals, that it has the ability to fix itself and structure function. Things work the way they're supposed to and help them. And a good osteopathic physician will use the three of those to come up with a plan for your best health.
That's really cool.
So I think it's fascinating that one man 130 years ago with this idea of providing better health care for people, that today 58 institutions teach basically osteopathic health care as physicians. So if a kid wanted to be a doctor and there were four of them, one of the four would go to one of our schools. One man, 130 years later, 25% of anybody that's going to become a physician will go to an osteopathic school. That tells me we're doing something right.
When the other disconnect is when he started this, he wasn't in Kansas City. He wasn't in a major metropolitan. He was in a rural, small town.
A lot of people said, why don't you come to Chicago? Why don't mm-hmm. you come? He goes, you know what? My idea will grow best from a small institution. It will stay pure, and people will see it grow from here. So my osteopathic health care can serve best in a small, isolated rural area. And today, to look at it, almost every state has a school and hundreds of osteopathic institutions around the world. You go to almost any country, you're going to find this philosophy of health, and they call it osteopathic.
And we're at the mothership.
And that's what's funny. You know, the unique thing is there's very few things in medicine that you can actually trace back to an origin. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Still, everyone's pedigree, if you have something to do with osteopathy or osteopathic healthcare, you can trace who taught you, who taught them, and you will come back to one person. It has a beginning, mm-hmm. and it flares out from that. In medicine, that's not generally true because it's cherry-picked from all over the place. But if you're an osteopathic physician or in osteopathy healthcare, you always come back to Dr. Still. And he was so altruistic. He gave everything. The thing is, because he understand this was a journey of knowledge in life and it was very temporary, he had no titles, meant nothing, money meant nothing. He served the poor. If people lined up, pain of the poor is the same as pain of the rich. I will take you in order. And people say, well, I don't have any money. He goes, the people that can pay will. Let me give you your fare back home. I will not only treat you, but you can't kick somebody who's down, a dad who hasn't been working and their kids are starving. Give them some hotel money and a meal. Get them back. Once you fix them, get them feeling positive so they can go out and make a difference. And so Dr. Still, he had given away all the money. As a matter of fact, the children were constantly worried about what he was going to give away next because money meant nothing to him. It was soul to soul. When you were with him as a patient, it was soul to soul and nothing else. And he treated you. He goes, I can't always fix things, but a good osteopathic physician can make you better. And that's what most people will settle for. You know, if you have cerebral palsy, that happened at birth, it's nervous, and it's sad. Because you know what? We can give that person more comfort. We could give them ability to move, feel, and there'd be a crime not to.
Are there any descendants of Dr. Still here?
I think that's fascinating because actually Richard Still III is an orthopedic surgeon down in St. Louis, Missouri. He's very tied into the museum. He just retired. But what I'm saying is we still have Stills throughout the sons and the daughter Blanche. So they're not called Still, they're called Laughlins. But the thing is the family is still very active in healing and sharing the message of their health care.
So if somebody wanted to learn more about your world?
Well, they can contact through the museum, Jason Hexton, the director at A.T. Still University in Kirksville, Missouri. We're on the website, atsu.edu/museum, but also through communications and marketing through Virginia Halterman. She can help you in our area. And my name is Jason Hexton, the museum director.
Jason, thank you for spending time. This has been great.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Yeah. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Missouri. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.
If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.